Christians have long been very, very suspicious of all physical matter, of flesh and blood, and especially Christians have been suspicious of bodies and whatever bodies do. This is called asceticism. For example, just two or three examples. Ite was an Irish abbess who lived 1,500 years ago. And what she would do is she would place one of these huge stag beetles under her robe against her skin. And that beetle would chew on her day and night. The intense pain of this insect constantly biting her was supposed to make Ite hate her body and focus her soul's energy on God instead. One day, Ite's insect got away, and her fellow nuns wisely stomped on it, killing it. But Ite became very angry, and she actually said, "Where has my foster child gone?" Because Ite believed that unless there is physical, bodily pain, you cannot truly focus on spiritual matters. And now, actually, Christianity is rife with this kind of attitude towards the body. So, for example, St. Anthony, 3rd century. St. Anthony decided that the best way to serve God was to flee the flesh pots of Egypt and live alone in the desert instead. He was the first of the so-called desert monks. St. Anthony lived by himself in an abandoned Roman fort. And St. Anthony refused himself all bodily pleasure. No sex, no rich food, no baths, no good night's sleep, no comfortable clothes, no sturdy shoes. Anthony focused instead on spiritual things, on prayer and psalm singing. That's all he did in seclusion for 20 years. All the better, he thought, to focus on God, to please God. Eventually, thousands of other Christians imitated him, and it began a whole huge movement. They all renounced life in the world and bodily pleasure, and they moved into the desert to join him, in silence, of course. Even today, in the Roman Catholic Church, priests are still not allowed to marry. And a large part of this idea seems to be that by denying physical bodily urges, by denying pleasure to your body, priests can better focus their spiritual energy on God and God's priorities. But it isn't only Roman Catholics. It's other philosophies and religions too. For example, Platonism and Buddhism and Hinduism and Sufi Islam have all come up with the same idea. And that idea, once again, is this. By treating their bodies as prisons for the soul, by denying their bodies pleasure, some people believe they can fly their souls closer to God, sort of how we might deny ourselves the pleasure of a daily latte in order to save money to go on a vacation. Our Jewish friends know better. According to Genesis, God declares that every physical, material, bodily thing that he or she, maybe, created, God declares that every physical thing from Everest to Erie, from parsnips to people, all of it is good. Very, very good. Of Adam and Eve, we read that they were both naked and not ashamed. And of the fruit in the garden, God says, eat whatever you want. Well, except, of course, from that one special tree. But the rest, eat it and enjoy. In fact, in Judaism, Asceticism has always been at best a minor theme by a few sects on the fringe. Judaism has mostly rejected the idea that people have bodies and souls that can be, as if by a magical knife, split apart. No, for Jews, humans are always one. They are indivisible. They are a nefesh, or being. In Judaism, to enjoy the body within the scope of God's law, but to enjoy the body is to feed the soul. While a dance or a banquet for Jews is as likely to cure a heartsick soul as prayer or deprivation. Christianity should understand this. The Christmas stories, for example, Christmas is not about how some poor human soul tried to connect with God by renouncing his or her body and suffering physical pain. But Christmas stories are about how God put on the wonders of a human body, of flesh and blood and bones, to be with humans. Because God thought bodies were great. And then whether it's Jesus as a baby who breastfeeds, or Jesus who goes to Sabbath school as a little boy, or Jesus drinking and making wine for a wedding, New Testament stories emphasize how Jesus put on and enjoyed his body. And that's actually how it is for Easter too. That's why Easter is Christmas all over. When the worst of all possible things happens to Jesus' body and Jesus dies, according to the story, God, Jesus' Father, responds not by taking Jesus' spirit up into heaven. No. No, according to the story, when Jesus dies, God responds by giving Jesus his body back on Easter morning so that Jesus could eat and drink, have a little boiled fish, and talk with his friends again. You see, bodies are good. The resurrection stories about Jesus are a divine affirmation that bodies are home to God, not prisons for the soul. Now, I acknowledge that there are mysteries here which I cannot solve. I would not argue, for example, for a real historical resurrection any more than I would argue for a real literal six-day creation or a real virgin birth. Like the Christmas stories, what actually happened on Easter morning seems a little beside the point to me. We were not there, we won't know, but it doesn't matter, because stories are spiritually alive to the truth. And this resurrection story embodies the wisdom of the ages, divine Judeo-Christian wisdom. And it is this: God is on the side of flesh, because human flesh is spiritually splendid. So if you want to be spiritual, I would suggest that you forget Ite, and you forget Saint Anthony, and you forget Plato. If you want to be truly spiritual in an Easter sort of way, attend to the divine gift of your bodies. Pray with your bodies. Make music with your body. Exercise your bodies. Party with your bodies. Treasure and care for your bodies. Mourn the death of bodies. Heal bodies. Have committed and caring sex with your bodies. Love and encourage those whose bodies are failing. This is your true spiritual worship. And this is what Easter is about. Amen.